All good things must eventually come to an end. And so, this episode marks the end of the Balticon 47 wrap-up. I'm Doc Coleman, and it has been my pleasure to share with you some of the panels and events from Balticon 47. I hope that this has brought back pleasant memories for those who attended Balticon this year, and that it has inspired those who didn't to make plans to attend Balticon 48 in 2014. Our final panel was recorded on May 27th at noon and is entitled Multi-Creatives. I attended this panel to support my friends Starla Hutchton and PC Herring, but I found myself pulled up front to participate in place of a panelist who had already left for home. Starla Hutchton moderated our panel of creative gluttons for punishment, which included myself, PC Herring, Renee Chambliss, and Christiana Ellis. Multi-creatives are individuals who are productive in creating more than one type of art at the same time, be it writing, podcasting, acting, artwork, or musical performance. There are many different reasons why someone comes into the realm of the multi-creatives, but we all seem to have a lot of similarities while we are there. We all have multiple projects to juggle, in different media, and we have to come up with our own strategies for keeping projects moving forward and to keep from becoming distracted by the next bright, shiny new idea. Of course, sometimes you do need to pick up that new, shiny idea, which leads us to the creative phenomenon of squirrel juggling with its own pitfalls and benefits. What the heck? Why are there squirrels in my script? Listen to the panel and make sense? Really? As much as anything said in a panel makes sense. Okay, And sometimes, no matter how much you may be fond of a particular squirrel, you have to let it go so that you can focus on something else. The best skill you can learn is the art of choosing your squirrels wisely to make the most of your time and use one project to help re-energize another. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the entire Balticon 47 wrap-up, and that you'll return next year for the wrap-up of Balticon 48. And now, our final episode. Squirrel!
All right, so welcome Monday Balticon diehards. This is the Multi-Creatives panel. I am sort of your host. I am Starla Hutchton. I kind of explained before what we're talking about. When we say a multi-creative, it's a person that works in a couple of different areas. Creatively, yes. Words.
Bazinga.
It's Monday.
Otherwise known as gluttons for punishment. Here.
See, this loosens you up a little bit.
No. I'm drive home. Hello, Tom. So I was saying a little bit ago, I am a book cover designer. This is a book cover I designed. It is also a new book that I have coming out on June 3rd. It's a science fiction romance, so I'm also an author. I also do voice work. I narrated a few audiobooks in my time, and provided, you know, little character voices here and there. I did one for Christiana, actually, not too long ago.
Yes, it's not released yet because I'm still in production, but, she plays a role in Space Casey season 2.
Yes. I get to bring you crazy. So, I'm going to let the rest of the panel introduce themselves and tell you about what they do. Doc. What's up, Doc?
I always get thrown in.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
Never heard that one.
sure not.
Up Doc is a pharmaceutical company. I'm Doc Coleman. I am a podcaster, a voice actor. I do some... audio production. My wife does most of the audio production for Swimming Cat Studios, which is kind of our brand. And I also write and try to get better at writing. Where do you want me to go with this?
That's fine. That's what you guys.
My name card is packed, unfortunately, but I am PC Herring. I am an author. I'm a podcaster, a narrator, a producer, a performance musician, And in the context of some of my writing, I am a 3D modeling designer of starships.
I need to talk to you.
I'm Renee Chambliss, and I don't have as quite as many roles as a lot of these people. I'm a writer, a podcaster, I can produce audio, and an audiobook narrator. And I really feel like my two big focuses are the writing and the audiobook narrating, which I'm, after this, I'm getting on a train to go up to New York to the audio publishing conference up there. And so I'm, you know, it's, I'm doing what I can to pursue that professionally. And so far it's working out really well.
I'm Christiana Ellis. I don't have a name card because I'm crashing. I was invited though, so I guess it's not really crashing. Anyway, I am primarily a writer and podcaster. I write both, you know, straight prose fiction and then also audio dramas. I produce those, and then I also do, you know, voice work and podcasting. And I'm a dilettante in a number of different other things that I do for a little while and then don't actually release any of. I made a Flash animated cartoon, and I'm currently experimenting with interactive fiction, but mostly writing and podcasting.
All right. So that is our brilliant panel today.
Brilliant? Where? Seriously?
Brilliant!
Monday on Balticon, is there any brilliance?
Alcohol in bottles! Brilliant!
So, I'm so not prepared for this. Okay, so when we're talking about being a multi-creative, is it something that you guys just naturally were drawn to, or did this develop, or did you jump into all these things all at one time, or how did you become a multi-creative?
How did I get sucked into this? I guess one thing I forgot to mention is I seem to be a professional first person under the bus.
Well, we can start down there, yeah, if you like.
No, for me, it was the fact that I've always had fragments of stories. I mean, if you want to boil it down, I'm a storyteller. And I finally got to a point in my life where I was surrounded by other people who were telling stories. And I finally said, I've got all this stuff that I've wanted to do, and I've never thought it was good enough. I'm not going to get good enough unless I start doing it. And unfortunately, because of certain things that have happened in my developing years, I have trouble coming out and asking people to help me. So I just sort of go things alone. So if you know, I need something to a story to tell, so I have to write the story. Okay, now I've written the story, now I need to tell it, so I need to be able to connect with my audience. Well, that means a podcast, so I need to set up a blog site. I need to record my audio, I need to edit my audio, I need to package it and put it up there. So I did it all myself because...
So what came first for you? Was it the writing first, or was it podcasting first? Is it a chicken and the egg?
Actually, writing came first, and I figured that even though I wanted to tell stories, I wasn't ready for that, but any kind of writing is better than no writing, so I started by creating a tech blog because I know tech. So I created the Nifty Tech Blog, which does reviews of consumer tech that I consider the best of the best. So I'm not trying to be cutting edge. I'm not trying to talk about the latest development. I'm just pointing out things that do things for you and get out of your way so that you can concentrate on what you're doing instead of what the tech is doing. And I try to explain it in ways that anybody off the street can understand it. So that it requires a certain understanding and a certain level of communication skills. And I've been doing that since 2010.
I still owe you a level later review.
Yes, you do.
That's like, what, 3 years late now at this point?
Actually, only two. Okay. But,
So you said you're a performance musician on mm-hmm. some of this other stuff. What are these?
Well, it's as a performance musician, that definitely came first. That goes all the way back to my grade school years. You know, the music directors come to school, hey, you can play an instrument. What do you want to play? And I ended up playing viola. It doesn't. I do.
That's what Jake from Adventure Time plays.
And I don't know that I necessarily, I mean, it's not creative in the sense that we are, I mean, we're creating music, but we're not creating something out of nothing. And I've used my viola in the production of other people's podcasts mostly. That's more talent than creative. I just kind of threw it out there because it can be. But
you're still creatively interpreting.
Yes, I'm still, so it's absolutely.
And it's amazing the creative ideas that, you can come up for somebody else's project.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and, don't sell it short. It's because it's still creative. Like, mm-hmm. even if someone else wrote the music, it's just, it's collaborative.
It is very collaborative.
Someone else can write the sheet music, and that's not music yet.
It's made up for some good edit points. I'm falling off the track here. I'll get back to the question. Because at one point, there was a podcast novel, and it was, I think it was Down for 10, where he's talking about a violinist playing an old violin under a heating duct, so that it reverberates to the whole house and says, it's great. I'm like, you're going to dry the wood out and destroy the instrument if you do that for too long. And anyways, so, but for me,
it was on.
In terms of writing podcasting and that element, writing most certainly came first. Then I met this hack named T. Morris. First mistake.
It's always his fault.
Morris!
I knew Morris before he became a hack, but I'm still stained by his
influence.
He's
the reason I started doing full cast.
Yeah,
so.
Same here. And
the
he,
stain of Morris.
Is that like Morris taint?
Yeah. no, not going there.
No, we got Sigler taint, so, yeah. But,
no, this is the gift
taint of
Sigler.
Roman legions.
The taint of the Roman legions we don't have.
But through my conversation with T, it became it became apparent to me that podcasting was the way I wanted to put Cybrosis out there. And full cast was the way I wanted to go with it. So that meant I had to learn how to be a podcaster and a producer and learn that on the fly. I made a joke earlier about 3D designs of starships. I don't do that too much because I don't need to anymore. But when I started working on my space opera franchise, I decided that I needed consistent visuals with which to work when I'm designing ships that are fighting each other in space. And so I went out and I pulled down a free basic 3D drafting program and just started pittering.
What do you use?
No, PLV Ray, Persistent Vision Ray Tracer. It's free. It's available. I think it's a Windows-only platform. There is technically a Mac build, but it's not stable. Mm-hmm. And self-taught through that with help files and their tutorials. And it makes for fun stuff. And actually, as it turned out, some of the designs I put together for what started as my own personal, no one's ever going to see this because I just, my referential, early costume sketches kind of thing for mm-hmm. a costume designer. Turned into, well, what do you have? When I contacted Alex White to do the cover, he says, well, what do you have? I said, well, I got these models. He says, can you give one to me that looks like a hologram? And now it's on the cover of the book that hasn't yet been released. So, I mean, it all interrelates to itself, and it's just, it's kind of a chicken and the egg, but it all kind of happens in a necessary sequence as something comes up that I need to do, I figure out, well, is this worth my time or not? And I tackle it or I don't.
Well, when I was thinking about the question, at first I thought, okay, well, the writing came first. Because if you look at sort of the way that this has progressed for me in the last few years, I wrote my book, I podcasted, I started getting asked to do voices in other podcasts. I heard, and then I started doing the audiobook narrating. But thinking about it a little more, my grandparents were actors, my dad's parents. My grandmother was a stage actress in Germany, and my grandfather was from Texas. They met at this acting school, Darlington Academy, Darlington Hall in England, doesn't matter. But anyway, they were classically trained. My grandpa was in Gunsmoke. He was in The Most. He was also in the Andy Griffith Show. He was never a big star, but he was a working actor. Well, my dad growing up was super poor because even though they were great, it's just really hard to make money as an actor. So I was raised, you've got to be real practical. But I was always drawn to it. I mean, we were putting on shows all the time. I would have loved to join like a children's theater group or something like that, but that wasn't open to me. But anyway, I just think it's so interesting how it all ended up working out because you know, I've had this sort of love of performing and sort of becoming other people, and I get to do that now through the voice acting and, you know, the narrating. When you're narrating a whole book, you get to be every person in the book. So so I'm really happy with how things have gone.
For me, there's some similarities there, actually. I mean, I was making up stories, you know, really pretty far back. I think the first one that I really have any record of is was in third grade, but certainly date back at least till then. But then also as I got into like junior high, that age, I also got into acting. And so like I was in the children's theater group. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of fun. And then as I got into high school, I was also on the speech and debate team, not so much the speech and debate part as much as an event called Interpretation of Humorous Literature, where you take a selection from a humorous book or play and you perform it all by yourself, doing all the voices with no props or costumes, and you can't move your feet. And so that's the idea. And so, gosh, does that translate at all into what I do now?
Yes. Maybe a little bit.
But anyway, the idea of blending the writing and the performance aspect of it is one of the reasons that podcasting so strongly appealed to me. Because, you know, when I first decided to podcast Nina, I mean, at that time, the question really in my head was, if I do this, does it mean that I won't be able to ever publish it anywhere ever? And I decided it was worth that risk because I wanted to do it. I mean, there's a lot of talk, you know, in like business of podcasting or whatever, lately, you know, people questioning me, like, is it the right way to publicize or whatever? And I think what it comes down to for me is, well, it is a good way if you like the process. You know, if you're doing it only as publicity, it's maybe not the best use of time. But like for me, the idea of not doing it as a podcast sounds less fun. It's not just like, oh, it's work to podcast it. It's like I enjoy that process. And then I tend to do lots of other little things that don't go anywhere because just I think it's a common experience among creatives that like once you get past yes, exactly. And so what it tends to be is like when you're doing any extended creative project, like you're in the middle of a rough draft of a novel or something, and you get to a point where it's a little bit sticky, you know, your brain starts saying, ooh, what other stories could I write? Oh, look, I could work on a cartoon. Oh, wait, no, look, I could do this over here. And so that tends to be what it is.
Oh, wait, I can take a piece from this story and a piece from that story and come up with this really cool thing over here.
So that's going to actually lead into another question.
What a segue. I was going to say, listening to you ladies, I realized that for me, actually, it really started when I was back in school. I had an English teacher that insisted that we never read anything in a monotone.
Oh.
So she basically instructed all of us into how to read a story like real people telling a real story.
What a great teacher.
Yes, she was. And that kind of got me into acting. Mm-hmm. Got up.
Since I'm moderator, I don't necessarily care to talk about myself. As far as, because you were talking about, you know, you're in the middle of a project, and here's this other thing, this sparkly thing over here that, maybe I can go do that. So how do you manage that? How do you focus and ignore the squirrel?
Poorly. So generally what I have to do is, because I recognize this tendency in myself, I usually have to commit to say, I have to be really strict to just say, no, I'm doing this until it's done, because that's the only way for it ever to get done. And I'm not working on any other thing until then. I can take notes, but that's it. However, unfortunately, what frequently that means is because I'm not at the fun part for the thing I'm trying to finish, I just don't work on anything at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I play video games instead or something, you know. And so so it's not an ideal strategy. It's literally something that I wrestle with every single day.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I'd handle that probably the worst of everybody here, but maybe not. My problem is that the acting and the narrating, well, there's two things. The reading, the recording, the narrating is easier for me it's easier. So if I have that to do, we want to do things that are easy. We don't want to do the hard stuff. The writing is hard. It's, I think I'm a good writer. I write good stories, but it doesn't just flow out. It's a lot of work. For me, writing is a series of solving problems. So, and when you solve the problem, it's just the greatest feeling ever, but there's always another problem. So I really struggle with keeping up with the writing and then also with doing this work, you know, people have given me a deadline. You know, if I have like this writing, which really there's people who want me to write, thankfully, but
because I would really like
I'm not to see that sequel.
I know, I know. No, it's I'm working on it, but it's just not as fast, and you know, I'm not making the kind of progress that I wish I was. But you know, if they've got okay, this audiobook needs to be done in 2 weeks, you know, that's where I'm going to put my time. And so I would love to hear from you guys kind of how you balance the sort of the fun stuff, but that you need to do and you want to do, versus the kind of committed stuff that's also creative. Because I find that for myself, I have a limited amount of creative energy, and so I have to be kind of careful where I spend it.
I would have to say for me, I've been fortunate that I haven't had to necessarily choose between one side of creativity and another side of creativity, at least not yet. Inevitably, in the past, I've either been writing or I've been podcasting. I've never really been doing both at the same time. That's going to change in about 2 weeks. But at the same time, I think I've set up some good habits for myself. My day job is one where I can set up my computer at my lunch hour, my laptop, and write at my desk almost completely uninterrupted, and nobody cares. And when I've got, and when the words are flowing, I can punch out 700 to 1500 words in that 45 minute time bracket, and that's my writing for the day. And then when I go home, then I can fire up the studio and record, because I cannot record at the office. Mike's not there, the studio's not there. So for me, it's an element of what do I have available to me right now, what is that I can do, and what will free me up to do things I want to do or that I need to do in a more restrictive setting. I could, in theory, edit audio during lunch if I wanted to, but I don't. I don't want to. It's possible. I mean, my laptop's got everything I need on it, but I don't want to. So it's anytime I've got anytime I have a pen and paper, I can put words down and write. And so writing kind of is I don't want to say it's catch as catch can, but it's a much more fluid process for me because I got that word file hidden behind that account reconciliation, and oh yeah, we're gonna do this. Okay, fine. And then I just load it into my database when I get back to my laptop.
Well, I'm having that sacred time, that's your writing time. I need to do that. I need to have like this is the time I write. It doesn't matter that I have the deadlines and you know.
The trick for me was finding what that sacred time actually is, because I figured, you know, okay, I'm a morning person. I'll get up at 6 and I'll do words and then I'll shower. Mm-hmm. But my brain's not awake enough to do words at 6. I spend more time reading Google Reader than I did actually putting a word down. Well, maybe I'll do it when I get home before I eat dinner, before I decompress. But no, it's been a long day and I'm just drained. So what do I want to do? I want to sit in front of the computer, I want to sit in front of the TV and watch The Apprentice or whatever it is. But that middle of the day lunch hour time frame for me works because I'm awake, I'm energized, I'm in a very analytical, you know, logical day job, so that break where I can just bury myself in creativity on for an hour is a great break in the day, and then I go back to being analytical, and then I have my.
How about you? How do you ignore this world?
My answer has been squirrel juggling. And of course, the problem with that when you engage in squirrel juggling is you find yourself picking up more squirrels. And eventually you've got too many squirrels in the air and you've got to let a bunch of them drop onto the floor.
So are you the Pendulette of podcasting and creatives? Barking while you're juggling? And...
I may use that later, but it's I tend to, I don't mind having multiple projects going at the same time. Cause in a sense, if I'm writing on one project, I also have trying to keep my blog going and preferably keeping my podcast going. And those are three completely different, completely separate, venues. I still try to do the writing every day, but it becomes a question of when I sit down that to take stock of myself and figure out what am I going to write today. Mm-hmm. And usually for the podcasting, I try to keep, I've got a few set times during the week when I do recording. So if I've got prep work, I got to make sure I do the prep work. But you know, something, you know, lately with the Shrinking Man project podcast, I've just sat down, done one-off takes, and handed it over to be edited. And with that kind of a daily, that kind of a personal diary podcast, I can do that because I don't have to be polished because the story that I'm telling is mine and it needs to be kind of raw and personal and all the lumps and warts. Not that I have lumps and warts. I find that I started off trying to edit one novel, write another one, and keep the blogs going. And I got to a point where I was stuck and I didn't feel like writing anything else that I was doing. So, no, I didn't let a squirrel go. I picked up a new one. I started writing.
This can only end poorly.
This only ends poorly. Yes, I started writing on the novel idea that I had pulled together for this year's NaNoWriMo. And you know, got a jump on that. And after a while, adding that in, I got to the point of, I am moving forward on everything, but I'm not moving forward fast enough. Everything's mired. I've got to drop most of the squirrels, and that's part of why coming out of this weekend after having burned out the last week on dealing with the day job and all the other projects and finally blowing my writing chain, I decided that I'm just going to focus on doing the revisions for the first novel and getting it done and pushing it to publishing regardless of everything else. About the only thing else I will be the blog, because I'm going to log the progress in my blog for accountability, but pretty much everything else is going to go on hiatus.
And there is something to be said about juggling squirrels.
Not just for practical reasons. But in a certain way, it does help
re-energize you because you change up things.
I mean, I was working on a manuscript that I was dead certain that after I finished the Slipspace trilogy, this was going to be the next working process. This was going to be that next working process, and I was going to punch it out. I wrote 5,000 words. I'm like, where this is going. I know where I want it to go, but I'm just kind of stalling for time and it's just not happening. But I hear a voice of one of my characters and she's demanding attention for a sequel. Maybe I'll start outlining that. And I picked up that squirrel. And then I talked to Veronica Jaguar and we're co-writing a project coming up. And I picked up that squirrel. And it's kind of one of those things where I wasn't making a lot of progress in any one of them until suddenly something clicked in the Cybrosa sequel outline, and suddenly a year later the virtuality draft is finished and I've got another project done. And then Veronica's schedule loosened up and my schedule loosened up at around the same time that now that that's done, we're going to push forward on our co-writing project. And sometimes having those multiple irons in the fire is good, because when one stalls, you can turn to the next one or the other one and make some progress on that. And then when you get that momentum on one or two of them,
and that can replenish you.
You can just push more.
So I personally call it my writing cookie jar. I have a file because I do things like I'm nearly finished with the third book in the series that's coming out, and
I was in the middle of the second one, and for about 2 weeks, every day I would get a new idea for a new project. Mm-hmm. And it was a little overwhelming, and I had no idea where this was coming from. So I have a file with a bunch of different ideas. Some are just one sentence. Some are 5 paragraphs that are more fleshed out. And this is my writing cookie jar, so that when I finish this one thing, this thing that needs to get done, I can reach into the cookie jar and maybe work on one of those other things. But because I have so many different things that I do, I have, you know, the cover designing that I'm doing, I'm having the writing that I'm obsessively writing the series right now. Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's going really well. It's a good story and everything, and I'm not complaining.
Right.
But I'm finding that with the narrating, you know, needing to be done too, I'm actually finding that I'm getting to the point where I have to say no to things, and I have to walk away from things. Mm-hmm. Like I was doing, I've narrated the first 3 books in the Emperor's Edge series by Lindsay Broker, and so many people have enjoyed this series. And I had actually started on doing book 4, and because of all of my squirrels, I had to choose something to walk away from. I had to say no to something. So I am now bowing out of that series, which I hated to do because I hate not finishing something. But this was going to be a 7-book series. And because I had to pick the squirrels I was most passionate about and that I loved the most, the prettiest squirrels to me.
This leads into my next question. I've got too many writing squirrels that I don't have nearly enough voice work squirrels.
We can fix that.
I've got bandwidth for voice work.
So this is my next question. This is why I'm telling you all of this. How do you decide? Have you guys ever gotten to the point where you've had to let go of a squirrel and say no, or stop accepting squirrels to juggle?
Yes.
I have an example, which is Shallow Thoughts, which is a podcast I did where when it started, I had been inspired by a couple of other people who were doing daily podcasts. And at that time, I was kind of thinking something that would kind of force me to do something creative every single day as an experiment, I said, well, I'm going to just, without really planning ahead, I'm going to just start doing a daily podcast and I'm going to see how long I can keep that up.
It was hilarious.
And at the time that I started, I was thinking if I could do a month, that would be pretty good. But what ended up happening is I literally did it every single day for a year. And I was really proud of myself for that. Thank you. I was really proud of myself. But what I discovered during that year is as much as I liked it, and you know, I had, you know, the numbers weren't huge, but the people who did listen were very enthusiastic. And I really enjoyed doing it. But what I realized is while I was doing that, I wasn't doing anything else. And I knew that as much as it was fun, it wasn't long term. Like each individual episode was kind of a lot more ephemeral. And, you know, I kind of had some projects that meant more to me beyond being just fun on a day-to-day basis. And so I decided that I had to stop doing Shallow Thoughts because I wanted to focus on other things. And so that's hard, though, because I still get people who want me to say, well, you could do just 1 or 2 and put them back in the feed. I'm still subscribed. And I miss it sometimes. But at the same time, I just know that when I was doing it every day, I wasn't doing anything else. But at the same time, it was not the sort of project where I can get into that headspace every so often. It was really just, it was an every day or not at all sort of thing for me.
Yeah, I've turned things down. I don't know, excuse me, I don't know if any of you listened to Dead Hunt, Ked Crawford's audiobook, but that was one of the first, aside from my own writing, that was one of the first voice work sorts of things that I did. And I had to tell him that I was really sorry, I can't do Dead Hunt 2. The narrating is usually what I will have to turn down if it's a volunteer project, just because, I don't know, I think for a couple of reasons. One, my limited time, but also since I'm being paid to do it by people, I feel like I can't really, it's hard. I'm not really sure what the sort of professional, like, etiquette is there, but it just feels like I shouldn't be doing it for volunteer So I don't know that that's a, like, set in stone thing. If, like, something that I just was dying to do came up, you know, I might agree to do it. Voice work is different because that's not nearly as time consuming. And also, I'm not a voice actor. You know, I'm not acting in other, you know.
You don't do the funny voices and accents.
I don't. Yeah. Well, I can, but I don't get paid to do that. I'm not like sort of trying to make it as a voiceover, you know, cartoon artist or
your
something.
Your acting is more subtle.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did you hear the metamorph?
Yes,
that wasn't really subtle.
I think that was there. Yeah.
That wasn't super subtle, but for me, for my character. But anyway, so I have said no to things, and I just it's hard because I don't want to. I want to help people. I love this community. It's such a great community, and I've gotten so much great support from it, and I love to give back. But there just comes to a point where you can't say yes to everything. Too many squirrels. And then the writing also. I mean, it would be really easy for me to just totally forget about the writing and just only do voice, but I just can't do that. I love the writing too much, and I need to write.
So before you continue, just like I hate to do this, but there's actually a literal squirrel running around. I keep seeing it out of the corner of my eye, and especially since we're talking about it, I'm finding it very difficult to ignore.
I keep having to fight down this mental image of a T-shirt with Abby Hilton's...
squirrels.
Gerard?
Silvio and Gerard with the label squirrel juggler on it.
Dear Cafe Press.
Okay, I got rights to the imagery, but
yeah. Yeah, so sorry for that.
We're talking about letting the squirrels go.
Yeah.
So that squirrel is skittering out the room right now.
Have you gotten to a point where you have to let go
of the squirrels? I have. And it's not because I have too many creative projects to juggle. It's because I'm also a CPA candidate in the state of Illinois. And if you are an accountant, none of you guys look boring enough to be accountants.
Just got my master's.
Congratulations.
Or
if you know somebody who is an accountant or a CPA, you know the kind of time commitment they tell you need to do to properly prepare for this exam. It is a second day job. The music side, I play in the local church and I play for a chamber orchestra in suburban Chicago. And the last time I picked up the instrument was Easter. I'm usually weekly at the church. Usually. The chamber orchestra had rehearsals and a concert through the weekends of May, and then the concert, I believe, was scheduled for the Sunday before Balticon. Considering the fact that I can't tell you exactly when that schedule was, you already know I didn't play that concert. And it was killer for me because we are a small viola section in that group. They were doing music I really love. I'm a sucker for playing Bizet. And I had to turn it down because my priority had to be this professional certification. I finished the draft of my, you know, writing the novel, of writing Virtuality, early May. And as I said earlier, the next constructive, you know, the next drafting project I've got, the writing project I have is with my co-worker, Veronica Jaguar. And we were talking and we were kind of deciding when we want to start this thing. And I said, you know what? I need to not be writing and I can't schedule time to get with you on Skype right now because all my free time is being dedicated to studying. And so I sat down and I started polish editing for the next podcast production because it's something I can do on my own. I don't have to rely on her schedule and try to coordinate that. So I've had to drop squirrels. I've had to put squirrels in my pocket and say, I'll get to you in a minute. Stop clawing at me. And
squirrels in the cookie jar.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was tough, but, and my voice is cracking just because my voice is dying, not because I'm getting emotional about this. It was tough. But you've got to know where your priorities lie, whether it's with the creative side of things, whether it's with the personal side of things, whether it's with the professional side of things, that all interacts.
So we have your answer, and then I think we have enough time just for a few questions if anybody wanted to ask any about squirrels or whatever.
I prefer the African flying squirrels.
They're so tasty. Last year, Last year at Balticon, I was on a costuming panel that was moderated by Dr. Hammond, who is a writer and an author, or an editor. And that was steampunk based. And afterwards, she approached me and asked me if I would be part of a steampunk anthology that she was working on. And she sent me the premise for it and gave me, you know, a deadline that was like a couple months later to accept. And it took me most of the summer to think through what I could write that would fit in this world. Mm-hmm. But I finally came up with something just before the deadline, talked it back and forth with her. We like agreed on the story I would do like early October. And then I started looking at my calendar for the rest of the year. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I'd also agreed to do Scott Roche's Way of the Gun in mythology. And I was also doing NaNoWriMo that year, so I started looking at it, and I looked at the deadlines for having the short stories in, and I realized that there was no way I could do both of them. So I ended up doing Scott's because I had a much better grasp of that story, and I had to go back to her and say, I'm sorry, I'm overcommitted. I can't do this.
And there's something also to be said, especially when you're doing collaborative and you're juggling collaborative squirrels, is a sense of if the muse is inspiring at that moment. I was approached when P.G. Holyfield was doing Murder at Avedon Hill podcast. Tales of the Children. I was approached to contribute to Tales of the Children. And he sent me the story by it. He sent the Bible out, he sent the proposal out, and I wanted to help him. I wanted to participate. I never wanted to turn down an opportunity to write, but the more I dug into the ideas and some of the thoughts, I just came dry. There was nothing there. And it wasn't because it was a bad product, it wasn't because I didn't like PG, it just, there wasn't anything there. And I turned him down because I said, you know what, I'm not coming up with a story idea that I like, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do this justice in the time frame you want it done, and I would much rather turn in something quality than turn in something crap. And I let that one go. I didn't want to, I had to.
I was just going to say, sometimes what you need to do too is to realize, just be discerning about squirrels, because what I mean is that
choose your squirrels wisely.
Yes, exactly. I mean, because the thing is that, like, if you're trying to write a novel, you're trying to finish a novel rough draft, and you're just really stuck, and you feel like you just really need a break from it, and there's so many other squirrels. Well, if you pick one that's a short story on a specific theme, that's very different than if it's another novel idea, because if it's a short story, then in theory, you could take, you know, however long, a couple weeks or whatever time you would need to spend on that. You could do that. It could be finished, and then you come back, as opposed to a novel where the odds are that you're going to get to a halfway point in that novel and then be stuck, and then you're just in the same spot again.
And sometimes helping someone else on their project can be so refreshing and get you re-energized to work on your own.
Yes.
Or just having somebody to talk to on projects.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sitting outside in the little courtyard, brainstorming an idea for a project with Veronica Jagger, and Starla came in, and we kind of brought her up to speed and said, here's where we're at, here's what we're going on. And then she and I back and forthed a little bit. We went inside, she sat down, I sat down, I just started rambling. And she was being very attentive, very listening, you know, nodding, smiling, yes, that, you know, but she wasn't directly adding anything. But she was someone to listen to, or someone who would listen and let me just ramble. And I came up with an idea that I wanted to look into. She didn't say a word.
No, I did. I threw the chamber.
Yeah, you threw a couple crumbs, and the squirrel made a breakfast.
Sometimes all it takes, because I have this kind of person that works with me as well. I call him my creative sounding board, and you know, I throw stuff at her, and she suggests stuff, and it's like, no, I don't like this, but how about this? And that works. And so I know how this happens.
So the reason we authors are always talking about our unfinished stories is because we desperately need sounding boards.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
But I think that's a really good point about the short stories, mm-hmm. and just to kind of add to what I said before, I am happy to narrate short stories most of the time. Because again, it's like so much less of a commitment and you get experience and kind of input from pretty much anything you do creatively. So I like a lot of the stories that are being done on the Short Fiction Podcast. So I'm still very willing to do that. And I think, yeah, if you can find something that's short, that has a definite end point, you know, then it's not as, big and difficult of a squirrel to deal with.
Right. Well, we only have a few more minutes left. I was going to take questions, but then nobody's going to get to talk about their projects and where to be found. I'm sorry, but you know how we are. We all like to talk about ourselves.
We'll be loitering around for a couple of museums afterwards.
So, were there any real quick questions? No? Okay.
What is your favorite color?
Blue. No, yellow!
Boom!
I love conventions.
Okay, so we're going to start with you. Tell us where to find you. What's your projects are?
All my stuff is at ChristianaEllis.com. Basically, everything I do will be found there. But then I also have a couple of things over at PatioBooks.com, Space Casey, which is a science fiction humorous audio drama, season 2 coming soon-ish. Of course, bear in mind, I have been saying that for a year, but it is sooner now than it was then.
Too many squirrels?
Yes. And then Nina Kimberly the Merciless is a comedic fantasy novel, which is also available in print from Amazon or Dragon Moon Press. And there is also actually an illustrated Space Casey script book, which is available through Lulu.com. And, but really, ChristianaEllis.com is where you go. You'll find everything there.
Yeah, similar. rechambliss.com. If you Google Renee Chambliss, it'll take you there too. I'm on Twitter and Facebook. So. Say hi.
PCHerring.net is my most active site at the moment. My novel, Cybrosis, is available for the e-reader of your choice through the Kindle, the Amazon store, and the Barnes & Noble store. The audio is technically still up on my site, but the WordPress decided to drop all of my links to the media. So if you're interested in the free podcast, I would direct you over to Patio Books. At pchearing.net, you'll also find links to several of my short stories that I've put out on various anthologies.
And you can get to all of my stuff by going to www.doccoleman.com.
You realize there were 4 W's in that?
No. Okay. There's only three. There's only three. Too many squirrels. If you're actually interested in seeing my writing, doccoleman.com/writing, there is descriptions of all of the things that are available for sale and descriptions of my works in progress and links to all the places where you can actually buy stuff. If you want to watch the progress of the making of the sausage, then you can go over to swimmingcatstudios.com and
sausage too.
I make beer, but
there's a creative process.
I try to do weekly updates on how things are going, what kind of progress I've been making, and just getting some accountability.
And I am Starla Hutchton. You can find all of my writing, voice work, a little bit of my design stuff at starlahutchton.com. I have a new book, science fiction romance, coming out. First book in the series before over the next year. It's coming out June 3rd. All my design stuff is at designedbystarla.com. I have business cards and postcards up there. So Monday, and this is my last panel. I'm done. So thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you,
Dallas.